Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Ezra from verse 1, chapter 10. While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men, women and children, gathered round him. They too wept bitterly. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women from the peoples around us. But in spite of this, there is still hope for Israel. Now let us make a covenant before our God to send away all these women and their children, in accordance with the counsel of my Lord and of those who fear the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the law. Rise up. This matter is in your hands. We will support you, so take courage and do it." So Ezra rose up and put the leading priests and Levites and all Israel under oath to do what had been suggested. And they took the oath. Then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the room of Jehonan, son of Eliashib. While he was there, he ate no food and drank no water, because he continued to mourn over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. A proclamation was then issued throughout Judah and Jerusalem for all the exiles to assemble in Jerusalem. Anyone who failed to appear within 3 days would forfeit all his property, in accordance with the decision of the officials and elders, and would himself be expelled from the assembly of the exiles. Within 3 days, all the men of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem. And on the 20th day of the 9th month, all the people were sitting in the square before the house of God, greatly distressed by the occasion and because of the rain. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, "You have been unfaithful. You have married foreign women, adding to Israel's guilt. Now honour the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples around you and from your foreign wives." The whole assembly responded with a loud voice, "You are right. We must do as you say. But there are many people here, and it is the rainy season, so we cannot stand outside. Besides, this matter cannot be taken care of in a day or two, because we have sinned greatly in this thing. Let our officials act for the whole assembly. Then let everyone in our towns who has married a foreign woman come at a set time, along with the elders and judges of each town, until the fierce anger of our God in this matter is turned away from us. Only Jonathan, son of Asahel, and Jarziah, son of Tikva, supported by Meshullam and Sabbathai the Levite, opposed this." So the exiles did as was proposed. Ezra the priest selected men who were family heads, one from each family division, and all of them designated by name. On the first day of the 10th month, they sat down to investigate the cases. And by the first day of the first month, they finished dealing with all the men who had married foreign women.
Good morning. It's good to see you. Welcome if you're a visitor. Welcome if you're not. It's really good that you're here. And I always honestly believe that there's no error with the Lord wherever we find ourselves. He has a message for us. So today, I'm concluding our series that we started back in September in the Old Testament book of Ezra. Every message, I always pray, is complete in and of itself, and that the Lord can use that. So please, listen on in. I pray the Spirit will just take away anything from me, and will leave only those things that he has for us as a church, and for you as individuals. For sure, he wants to speak to us individually. Please pray for Derek Simpson, who wanted to be here today, but was unable to. He's not well still. He's back at home. Betty's out of hospital, so that's great news. But we do need to pray for these dear saints whose prayers have been answered as we meet here in our new facility. We thank you for your ongoing patience as we, over the next few weeks, look at acousticing to get rid of what you can hear now, a bit of bounce. So thank you for your prayers and support and patience as we make this a place where we can really, truly honour the Lord in all we do and can hear from him in a clear way. So we're going to pray, and then we'll dive into that passage in Ezra 10 and see what the Lord has to say for us and to us today. Shall we pray together? Thank you, Lord God, that we can meet here without fear of persecution. There are many brothers and sisters across the world where this is illegal, where they are imprisoned simply for loving Jesus. Lord, might it be that we never ever despise the gathering. May we continue to gather, encouraging one another as long as it is today. We thank you so much that you've moved us as a church of your people. We thank you that you have brought us to this point again when we are back in HQ, as it were. But Lord, we pray that we would not hide within that. But Lord, we'd really truly become the people you've called us to be. Lord, we thank you for the history of this place. We thank you for the prayers of your saints and the witness of the past. Lord, we thank you that we're here today because of the faithfulness of men and women and young people who've gone before us. So we pray, Lord, that you'd continue to bless Derek Simpson, Betty Bearwood, and others who are frail or ill at this time, those who would love to be here but cannot. Lord, be with them. May they know the power of your prayer. We think of Frank too, who has a foot infection. Lord, we know it's incredibly painful at this time. May the antibiotics work, and we pray you bring your healing. Holy Spirit, would you just come in these households of faith, and would you have your way? We open our hearts to you this morning. We ask that those things that have occupied us this week building up to today, those things that perhaps are occupying us after the service, I pray they'll be set aside, and that you will visit us in a fresh and a vital way. And we leave here more willing, more able, with a passion to serve you more fully. In Jesus' name we pray, for your glory. Amen. Oh, last day of the year. Last day of the year. Tell me something we don't know, Keith. It's been a year. It's been quite a year. I mean, for those of you visiting or not journeyed with us too long, we spent the last 9 years in the railway club across the way. And so we only came in here, I can't think it was late November. I think, was it right, Tom, guys? About late November, wasn't it? Something like that. So we've been in here a few weeks. I find New Year's quite interesting. New Year's are often times for people, they kind of reflect a little bit. It can be a sad time because we reflect on what's gone on and what has happened and maybe we wish it hadn't happened in our lives. Or we reflect even on, I don't know, maybe loved ones are no longer with us. Or generally we kind of reflect, and maybe some people in a few hours' time will be making what's called a New Year's resolution. I don't know if you do that. Gym memberships go up for about 3 weeks and then they go down again. And I need to get back as well. So those of you who are observant will know. But yeah, it's interesting that... So often this is a time of reflection, and it's important that not just for New Year, but as a church, what we've been doing, just to bring everybody up to speed, really, is we've been shadowing the people in the time of Ezra as they return from a period in exile back to HQ, Jerusalem. And the thing is, what we've seen in Ezra is that even though they've got a shiny new facility, and we can relate to that, the thing is, facilities don't change hearts. And it's very easy. I've spoken to churches that think the solution to their problem, be it their community profile or their spirituality or the passion of their worship, is a new facility. It's not. Unless the Spirit of God comes and changes our hearts completely and utterly and totally, so I am mad in love with Jesus Christ. Mad, absolutely passionate about Jesus Christ. Then my songs will be empty. I could sing in the Albert Hall every week. In Canterbury Cathedral, there's a building. Yet if my heart is unchanged, then it means really nothing. And what we really did before Christmas, the servant leadership team of the church went away. And you might recall, those of you who are here, this message was due to be preached on December the 10th, but we had a snowstorm, which meant we were cancelled. But the week before that, we were in Ezra 9. And it was really interesting because the people had come back to HQ and there was great celebration in 8. There was great celebration about the new facility. All the articles of gold were there, the new speakers, the drum screen in Ezra, you know, their equivalent. And it kind of was the celebration. This is it now. But we saw in chapter 9 that actually we take ourselves with us everywhere we go, don't we? Wherever we go, we take ourselves. And so, you know, we might actually visit all sorts of churches, maybe disgruntled the way things are with where we regularly worship. But, you know, we take ourselves with us everywhere we go. Unless there's a deep-seated working of the Spirit of God in my life, I'm never going to change. Because I'm so stubborn, I'm so naturally that way against God. Paul says that for natural self doesn't desire the spiritual things. That I'm never going to, no 1,000-year resolutions are going to change my passion for God's things in his kingdom. And so we've been shadowing the people of Ezra and coming back to HQ. And the leadership team went away just before Christmas. And we had a real sense in chapter 9, I spoke about it briefly, a real sense of a need for repentance. For those of you who are not sure about that, that's a word which means a complete change of mind, turning around, a new direction. Changing from where you're going now, that my life's fine and I'm accepting this second best, to a real sense of, no, Lord, I need you to transform. And I think repentance isn't just a conversion word of turning to Jesus for the first time. It's a word often that in Revelation we see it. The call to repentance is, I stand at the door, therefore repent, is to the church. And the leadership, when we were away, we were on our knees. And I remember in the service on Ezra 9, I knelt down the front here. And I know a number of people were saying, what was that about? Because you went on the day away, I understand that. And it was really hard to kind of capture that. Because that's what's really spilled out of the 24/7 call for a whole week of 24/7 prayer. We sense that we need to come before God and almost ask the question. Peter asked the brilliant question in 2 Peter 3:11. He says, so what sort of people ought we to be then? He's talking in the context of the Lord's return. But you see, that's a good question, isn't it? Do you think that's a good question for a believer, a follower of God to say, so what sort of person should I be then? If this is my label, what sort of person ought I to be? And so what we're calling, we sense the Spirit of God saying to us as a church. And I pray if you're from a different church, or you're just investigating or coming here for the first time, is that the Spirit will work in you. And you might take something into your already amazing place and ask that question. So what sort of people ought we to be? How can we get to a people? We saw last time we need to be a people of repentance. And today I've called today's final chapter on Ezra the need to be a people of confession and faith. And it's been really interesting. Next week's the motto service, by the way, 2018 motto. We've got new fridge magnets. Those of you who are not celebrating that might not appreciate we have a fridge magnet every year. which if we're not careful can stay on our fridge and not in our hearts. And next week I want to kind of cast a vision for what we're really looking at as a church, as a servant team, and we want everyone in on this. It's not about one or two people at the front telling everyone else what to do. It's about a whole church seeking the Spirit of God as far as what sort of people ought we to be. Because we want to be a church. We've been saying this, if you're a visitor or been with us less than a couple of years, for the last 5 years or so, we've been kind of changing a direction from perhaps normally what churches can do really well is be what you'd call attractional churches. We put on a program and people will come to it. And we do that well, by the way. And our groups are busy. If we build it, they will come, is usually the strategy. The Lord has been challenging us that actually God is at work way outside most of the time out there. And we need to find out what the Lord is doing and join him. So for the last 5 years, we've been repeating this message. It's been on our fridge magnets. We're God's people on God's mission. In the Spirit's power, with the message of his Son. Don't worry if he didn't say that, if you've not been here. Because we wanted to repeat and to repeat that we are God's people in partnership with the triune mission of God. So we're God's people on God's mission, it's not our mission. In the Spirit's power, with the message of his Son. Well, as we move into the new year, and I'll unpack this next week. Because that says who we are. That says who we are. But what do we do? Well, we want to be a people that make disciples that make disciples. That's what we're called to do. So we are going to be a people. We desire to be a people that receive. And we love receiving the gospel. Love receiving the blessings. Love receiving the family feel. Practice and share. Receive, practice and share. That'll be next week. I just wanted to kind of just frame that this morning. As we move into that. Because it's okay. I know some of you who work for corporate business will be saying it's great having great mission statements. They're usually empty and mean nothing. And I think sadly, even for many, many churches with the heart in the right place, that can be true as well. We can buy our fridge magnets. We can buy our framed pictures, which we put above our dining table. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua 24. And we walk past it every day and shout at the kids. And my neighbors think, what's going on in that place? I know because my heart is there too. And so today as we finish Ezra, the people have realized in Ezra that actually the facility is not going to do it, change anything in their lives. Because they're back to their ways. They've, for them in the ancient Near East, their issue might not be our issue today. Culturally, we may not find this an issue, but they had a major problem with intermarrying. And this with other groups of people who did not honor the Lord, did not serve Yahweh, did not serve the one true God. And God had warned them many, many, many years before, this is not the way you are to be. Do not behave this way. So here they were back in their new facility, and they were almost reaping the consequences of the rebellion of their hearts. They were surrounded by it, facing it every day. And the people have been hit by the Spirit of God to say, this isn't great in your life. Has that ever happened to you? Could I suggest that if you're truly a believer of Jesus Christ and you said, Lord, I want to follow you, that you should feel, and I should feel, incredibly uncomfortable about the things in my life and your life that don't honor the Lord. And if we don't, that's a real worry for me. I'm so excited by someone who comes to me and says, okay, I'm so worried about this. I can't stop clicking on these websites. I really struggle with this issue of addiction. I really struggle with this temper I have. I really struggle to read the Bible as opposed to the, this is who I am and that's what the Lord needs to put up with because I'm in control and I don't want to change now. And sometimes we might add, especially at my age. And so we see in Ezra, the people have sensed the need to do something about where they are. And we sense as a team that we need to be a church to ask that question. And as individuals today, what sort of people ought we to be? You see, if we aim for nothing, we usually hit it. That's true, isn't it? And so often, we can acknowledge things and say, oh yeah, I really should be doing this. Do you know, I really want to. I know that I really should pray more. Classic. We've got a great opportunity. Please do see Ian or Lou to sign up. We've got a lot of gaps. And we saw last time in Ezra 9 that unless we become a people who openly acknowledge rebellion, Lord, search me, see what's in my heart, and are sad about it. That's key. Are we sad about the stuff that makes God sad? We sing a song sometimes, Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours. I wonder if my heart breaks with the stuff in my life that breaks God's heart. Are you with me on that? I want to feel what he feels about me. That joy. I'm his child and I feel that. But I want to feel those things where he says, Keith, that's not me. And that can be hard if we've done church for a long time. Because doing church feels like spiritual stuff. It really can. But I know when relationship kicks in with any of us, there's a leap in our hearts. Relationship brings a leap. It's a little bit of a spring. It's really interesting. So how are we going to get there? How are we going to be a church that not only is God's people on God's mission in the Spirit's power and the message of his Son, but a truly repentant church who seek to be the people we ought to be in the words of Peter? Who seek to be a disciple-making people. How do we even start to get there? Well, I think Ezra 10 gives us a really good clue. This is amazing. If you go to business or management school, forget all that. Just look at the Bible. It was first. Churches steal. They think they're stealing business speak and management speak from places. Rubbish. Jesus started a world-changing movement with 12 people. And one of them was incredibly dodgy. No business on the planet is going to do that, not even social media. This is incredible. But how do we get there? Lord, I know I need to pray more. I want to follow you more dearly. I need to really get into this. I want to be in my spot of service for you. What is my gifting? How do we get as a church to that point of repentance, that place where we're seriously asking, Lord, what sort of people ought we to be? We see here in this chapter, the first thing is to talk about it. It's not the elephant in the room. Talk about it. So I might say, how are you? How are you? Are you all right? And you go, I'm fine, thank you. Now you might have had a nightmare week. And you might think, I don't want to know really what sort of week you've had. Do you know what I asked someone once in a church? No, sorry, someone asked me. Got it the wrong way around. It's easy to do. They said, Keith, how are you doing? And I'd had a really bad time. And I says, and they went, we don't want to know. We're just asking you. Seriously. 20, 30, 40, have been believers 40 years. Good, godly people. Previous elders of different churches said that to me. Where do I go with that? When I can't come to a place and be broken without feeling judged. Or that you don't care about me. I pray you care about me because you're all I've got. The Lord's given me a beautiful family. But this is my family. And isn't it great to be able to say, guard down, this is who I am, this is really hard. We need to talk about it. And I love this here in verse 1 of chapter 10. While Ezra was praying and confessing and weeping, and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men and women and children, gathered around him. And they too wept bitterly. They gathered around. And Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Elam, said to Ezra, we've been unfaithful. They started to talk. What I love about this is at the end of 9, Ezra's praying on his own to the Lord. Lord, look. He knows the people's hearts. Ezra doesn't stand up on a Sunday or a Saturday then and say, right, you lot, you're a bunch of total wasters. You need to pray more. Have you ever been out of church and felt battered Can I apologize if I've ever made you feel that way? Don't mix me up with the Spirit of God, though. See, Ezra prays alone to the Spirit of God at the end of 9, and then in the beginning of 10, he's praying still. He hasn't been anywhere near the people. Lord, these people, look what's happening, Lord. I need you to work in the hearts of this congregation. I need you to work in the hearts of my family. I need you to work, Lord. And while he's praying, the people come. You believe in the power of prayer? 24/7 prayer, week 24/7 prayer to change the hearts and lives of your family in this church? I do. Does anyone want to join me on that prayer? Anyone here? Just 2 or 3 or 6. Spurgeon, when he was asked about the success of his ministry, he used to take visitors to this little room under the chapel, and there was a group of people praying during the service. That's where it all happens, not on the platform. That's amazing, isn't it? And he sees Ezra praying, and then he prays again, and the people come, and there's just a sense, like the conviction of the Spirit of God comes, and this group of God's people who have rebelled against him come together in this new facility and say, oh, they're weeping with him. They're weeping with him. So while Ezra was praying, this really matters. A large crowd gathered, wanting to do business with God. That's all I would say here. Is could we ask ourselves this morning, do we want to do business with God today? That's what it boils down to. The alternative is that I just leave him as my divine vending machine, who I call upon next to the AA in my phone list when things get bad. He might just be interested in your everyday. Did you think that? And while he was praying, it was a heartfelt weeping. He threw himself on the ground. You know, we can often use prayer, can't we? Like a sort of like signature on a radio. In Jesus' name, it's a bit like over and out. Yeah, Lord, I need to really bless my job, and I want you to bless. And these are great things, don't get me wrong, with the right heart and the right priority. And in Jesus' name, over and out, heaven, did you get it? And in verse 1, we see a communal sense. You see, I could throw myself on the floor every Sunday, and you'd soon get sick of that. But if we suddenly opened ourselves to the Spirit of God in a communal sense of prayer, grieving about the things inside my heart that just don't honor God, that could be very, very exciting. You see, people often say to me, what's the vision? And I'm not sure about the vision of the church, you see. Well, I don't want to spoil anything for next week, but you see, we've already been given it by Jesus. Let's not change it. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, you know. That's why he just said that. Go and reproduce so other people can, you know. But we'll do that next week. And he's calling the people to repent. And I love Shechaniah. Where's the Shechaniahs in the church? Those who are honest, and there's lots of people who like being honest, and that's good, by the way. I don't like this. That's good. But Shechaniah mixes honesty with hope. Have you been honest to someone? Can I be honest to you? Can I be honest to you? He's all right, he's a mate, I can say that. Can I be honest to you? I want to mix my statements with hope. Because the Lord loves Stuart and Cheryl and others in it. He loves. I could say, look, this is maybe the Lord lays on my heart. Do you know, I've been praying about this in private, and I've been thinking about this for your life, and this isn't, I don't know. What do you think about this? There's hope with God. And look what Shechaniah says. He's amazing. I just love it. He doesn't just go to say, Ezra, you've got a major problem. Do you know that? You've got a major problem. You. This is bad. People will come up to me and say that. Shechaniah is great. I love Shechaniah. When Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Elam, said to Ezra, we have been unfaithful. There's honest dialogue. There's problems here. to our God. This is what it is. It doesn't matter what it is to them. It's marrying foreign women. What's our problem? But in spite of this, there is still hope for God's people. I love him. There's hope. There's hope for God's people in verse 3. Now let us make a covenant before our God. Because Jeconiah recognizes that God deals in covenant. In language of relational agreement with the Creator and his people. That's how God deals from the very beginning. He makes the covenant, calls us into relationship. We accept the terms of the covenant and enter relationship. That's how it's always been from the beginning with Adam and Eve, with Abraham, and with us in the new covenant with Jesus. This is my son whom I love. This is the one who died on the cross for you. This is the way you come to know me. And we say, no, thank you very much. We enter the covenant relationship. We say, yes, please, Lord. And I'm going to keep in that relationship. I'm going to keep loving and just showing my allegiance to you as my king, my new ruler. I heard you singing. I sang it as well very loudly. You are my king. Did anyone struggle to sing that? Was that an awkward question? I thought about it. Did you think about it? I mean, Jason and the team led beautifully. But singing that, is it on there? It's hard, isn't it? And I heard just lovely prayers from the team before we got it, saying, look, this year I really want to. I heard I really want to. And that's so encouraging. All God wants is a want to. A want to. And Shechaniah says, you know, Ezra, do you know what I think we need to do? I think we need to get back to covenant. We need to get back to relationship with the God who loved and made us. And make it not about us, our celebrations in the new facility, but let the Spirit of God who's revealed to us what really matters in my life. Because there's hope in a God who does that. He is the one who does that. Isn't God amazing? Do you know, can I tell you this? You might sack me in the morning. They chant that with football managers, don't they? I didn't go to church for 4 years at one stage in my Christian life. Do you know that? 4 years. It's bad, isn't it? Yeah, it's bad. My uncle kept writing to me. Hated it. Didn't have email then or mobile, thank goodness. But I recognised his writing on the envelope. After 3 weeks, I'd opened them, and he'd say, Keith, he was the one who led me to the Lord. I'm praying for you. He'd send me words to songs that I'd written when I was 16 years old. I'd read the verse, and I'd cry. And the letter said, Keith, get back to covenant. Get back to covenant. And here I am. Not because I'm smart, it's because the God who loved me never let me go. Because he who began a good work in me will see it through. In spite of me, not because I'm amazing. Isn't that great? And if I can stand here and say that, I think we all can. Maybe. Because we beat ourselves up and say, I'm not good enough. God won't bother with me anymore. I've let him down. And Shechaniah says, let's conduct ourselves according to God's word, Ezra. Let's get back to covenant. Let's talk about it. And in verse 4, he says, look at this, it's beautiful. All the people gather around and says, rise up, this matter is in your hands. We will support you. Take courage and do it. The whole people said, we are in this together. I'm not going to get any joy seeing 1, 2 fall away from the Lord. Where are they gone? Oh, I don't know. Or maybe the fall, and we jump on the shoulders, as I often say, to make sure they sink. No. We're in this together, says Ezra. Verse 4, chapter 10. See, we serve a covenant God of relationship. See, I love conversations like Shechaniah and Ezra. Not about a lone voice like what you're hearing this morning, banging on. making me feel bad. You need to more. Guess what? But about a community of God's people saying, we have got this opportunity. We feel the Lord is bringing us to this point that we need to really get on our knees and pray and get serious about business with God. That is the best proposition you or I will have all year. And it's not even started yet. Isn't it? I like that a lot. I really do. How might it happen? We need to talk about it. I'll be brief. I have to be. We've got to communicate it as well. So we see in 5 to 11, the whole team communicated. So Ezra rose up and put the priests and the Levites and all Israel under oath. They stopped communicating it. Then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. He fasted because he continued to mourn over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. And then in verse 7, they communicate it. So they talk about it. And then they say in verse 7, a proclamation was then issued throughout Judah and Jerusalem. That's an Old Testament way of saying everybody got it. Sometimes you'll read a verse like from Dan to Beersheba. It just means the whole of Israel. Everybody needed to get this. It wasn't good that half the church got it. It wasn't good that the life groups got it. It was good that everybody got it. Everyone had this amazing opportunity. I was there when you heard this, that there's this opportunity to come together and come as a church and ask what sort of people ought we to be. And that proclamation goes out and they get it. Ezra still keeps praying in verse 6. Prayer hasn't stopped. See, communication was widespread. We've just read that in verse 7. Everybody, Benjamin and Judah, from the whole places. It wasn't a one-off thing. Oh, you missed it last week. You should have been here for the sermon last week. Oh, you've missed a repentance slot. That'll be next year now, next year's motto now. We're moving on back to the hassle and the program. No. This isn't a slot. It must not be a slot. This must be a whole, in my life, DNA transformation that only the Spirit of God who created my original DNA can do. Lord Jesus, please, by your Spirit, change my DNA to love this stuff. To love this stuff. To love you. To get back to covenant, what really matters. And it was to be a priority. Look at the mood. The mood matches the occasion. We see in 8 and 9. Within 3 days, well in 8, it was quite harsh, but it's needed to be said. Anyone who failed to appear within 3 days, everyone was summoned, would forfeit all their property. I can't do that today, I'm afraid. You'd be pleased to know. But what the writer is saying is this mattered. This was to be the most important thing. And within the 3 days, all the men of Judah and Benjamin had gathered. On the 20th day of the 9th month, all the people were sitting in the square, getting completely soaked because it was raining. It was like Eeyore in a storm. It was a pretty dull party. But amazing. And you know, I don't know what you're used to. Because I can say that the visitors, whatever. I don't know. I love celebration. Honestly, believe me, if this is the first time you've ever sort of heard or spoken to me, you might think, I bet he didn't. I do. But you see, this point, getting to the people where they're sat in the rain, really thinking the whole creation's almost crying with them. This whole point didn't just happen. The Spirit of God had to work. You don't have to go back very far. Ezra 6:16. The temple's finished. Let me just read this. Verse 6:16. Then the people of Israel, joy. They were there. That was a cracking service. Compare that to 10:9, what we just read, second part. All the people were sitting in the square, in the rain, greatly distressed. Can I ask you a question? Do you mind? Which crowd would you rather be in? I think we'd rather be in Ezra 6. Jumping up and down. Celebrating. Nothing wrong with that. Which crowd do you think, Ezra 6 or Ezra 10:9b, are truly seeking the Lord? I wonder. It just struck me, as a guitarist, which some of you had the misfortune of hearing last week. Kidding. I love worship. This isn't about music. I'm talking heart, felt worship, my covenant relationship with God, with the King of Kings, with Jesus, King Jesus. You are my King. I would much every day rather be in Ezra 6. I can tell you now, I would. Go into the house of God. It's great this morning. We went home, wahoo. We were up there, yes. I don't want to sit in the rain repenting. Because the Spirit of God has come. But you know, I want to. I do want to. I want to, which whatever it takes, can I just pray for myself? Whatever it takes, Lord, do it. Break me. That's a real dangerous prayer at the beginning of a new year. The Spirit's going to just shine His light on all those things. See, chapter 6 tells us that the Lord had filled them with joy, so it wasn't all bad in 6. It wasn't a false joy. Verse 22. The Lord will fill them with joy. So we enjoy the moments. It was wonderful. It's great to have that time of the Lord. I love the time this morning. But there's something very special and precious about a group of God's people wanting to get serious about sin, about prayer, about repentance, and about relationship with the Lord. There's something beautiful about that. And when I look in the Bible, I don't see crowds of people jumping up and down. I see almost a reductionist exercise, a shrinking group of people who really want it, who follow Jesus for kingdom work. Because it's a narrow way. Yet the crowds will come, the crowds will get fed with the loaves and the fishes, and the crowds will disperse when it gets hard. I want to be fed and challenged by the Spirit of God, so transformation takes place. So those I know and love say, what is it with you? Wow. So we see in Ezra 10 a great strategy. We talk about it. Then we communicate it with everyone. Communicate it with everyone. Because there's hope. And Ezra says it. Ezra and Shechemiah say it how it is. It's not always easy in verse 10 and 11. Sometimes we've got to say as it is. Ezra the priest stood up and said, you have been unfaithful. You've married foreign women, adding to Israel's guilt. And this is the hard thing in 11. We have a decision to make. When the Spirit of God comes and shines His light on that area of our lives that we know it, we all know about already. Let's face it. You don't need any pastor to tell you this. When the Spirit of God shines, we have a choice. To carry on and ignore it. Verse 11, the challenge comes. Now honor the Lord your God. Now it's been exposed. You've got a choice. And I find that striking. That the Lord makes my free will incredible medium of response to His amazing free covenant love. I find that incredible. But it's a love that will not let me go. I'm nearly through. You've been ever so patient. So we need to talk about it. If we're going to get serious as God's people, if I'm going to get serious as a Christ follower, I want to talk about it with you. Say, I'm really struggling. Yeah, Jason, I'm really struggling with the Bible. really struggling to pray daily. I'm really struggling to find my what the Lord's got for me. We need to communicate it. This is what we're doing. Please see Ian and Lou about 24/7 prayer. We're repenting as a church. It's not just about repentance. We're saying, Lord, give us the picture, the local picture for us. Help us pray for the wider picture in the city and the world of your kingdom work. And that's great, and we could talk about it and communicate what we're going to do and never do anything, and the next year's fridge magnet will take its place. We need a plan. How's it going to work? And we see in 12 to 17, because there's a time when the talking has to stop. Because I can guarantee that a lot of you today might even come up and say, Keith, I really agree with what you just said. Remember I said it a couple of weeks ago. It's like telling someone to make their bed. You've all maybe have been blessed, some of you, with children. And you say, could you make your bed? And they come up to you 2 weeks later and says, do you know, I've really been thinking about what you said about making my bed. I think that's a great idea. In fact, I've got a few friends around my house tonight, and we're going to be talking about what it would look like if I made my bed. You'd be like, make your bed. In fact, I've learned it in Greek, what it means to make your bed. There comes a time we've got to make our bed. We've got to say, this is who we are. What sort of people ought to be? Make that plan. Get on with it. And it says in verse 12, the whole assembly responded to Ezra, you are right. That must be amazing. That's brilliant. There's some of these verses in the Bible where, you know, it's kind of the say as a pastor, you get quite jealous. End of Joshua 1 is another one, 16, when Joshua says a plan and the people says, whatever you do and whatever you say, we'll do it. Not that I want everyone to do whatever I say and do, by the way. But you know, that's that sense of the Spirit of God. Whatever and wherever. Remember, whoever members of whatever and wherever t-shirts. No takers, I had one on my mind. But there's practical steps involved. We see in 13:14, the whole assembly responded, you are right, we must do as you say, but there's loads of people here, Ezra, and it's the rainy season, we're getting really wet now, so we cannot stand outside. It can't be taken off in a day or so. Can we get into smaller groups? Can we talk about what it really means in smaller groups? Well, there's a plan. And what I love about the Bible is the honesty. Verse 15, there are those who opposed it. Not many. It doesn't say that they opposed repentance. Maybe they opposed the approach. It doesn't tell us. But it's written there. You know, we might debate the approach to what it means to come together and get serious about God. Some of you might not like life groups to get serious with one another. But you know, that's not an excuse for doing nothing. Find another way. Find another way of getting serious with each other about God. There's some innovative things coming out. People are having online groups here and all sorts of things and sharing. That might not be your thing. I like kind of chatting to people with skin on, but I appreciate people who are busy sometimes and it's really great to be able to. I like seeing body language, but you know, hey, we're all different. Millennials love it. And so there's a plan here. Some said we might need to get into little groups and get the elders round and do all these sort of things. In verse 16, so the people did as was proposed. Ah, wonderful. They got into small groups, got into the detail of obedience, what following the Lord looks like, the stuff they were struggling with, they got together and they dealt with the cases. And do you know what? In verse 17, because you have to repeat the message about receive, practice, share, about being a people of repentance, about being serious with business with God. In verse 17, within 4 months, they were all signed up. That's pretty impressive. There's a lot of people in this text. Not as many as the original exile. Probably a couple hundred thousand here. But within 4 months, everyone had signed up in some way to be able to engage and get serious and do business with God again. It's good, isn't it? This truly, and this was the whole Ezra title series title. This truly was a refocused people who had got into the new facility, who weren't allowed to let the facility cloud who they were. They took themselves with them everywhere they went. And they said, no, Lord, we need, this is our fresh opportunity. New facility, new year for us. Let's do this. And I think that's great. If we're going to be a people, as I wind this down, who take the Lord at his word, who desire to be a people of maturity in Christ, who want to receive and practice and share, to create a place of open confession where it's okay not to be okay, then let's talk about it. Let's communicate what we're doing. I take that on board. Let's plan to do it, because finally, and it was the bit that wasn't read, because it's just a list of names. You might notice that Ezra finishes very undramatically with a list of names from verse 18 to 44. And it's a list of names of people who had come forward and said, this is what I have been up to. And the reason they came forward, because they knew they were lovingly being welcomed into a covenant people who took sin seriously and who took covenant relationships seriously and wanted restoration, because we serve a God of restoration. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God is into the business of restoration. And so in 18 to 44, Ezra finishes with an unexciting list of names. Those who had opted, who had come forward to get deep and serious with God. The list starts with the descendants of the clergy. That's great. And my challenge this morning is, could we all be involved? Would you join me? Would you join the servant team here in the spirit of our day away? In nurturing, seeking to nurture a place of open repentance. Open repentance. Mutual encouragement and hope. Support. You see, because out of this ragtag group of people, God was preserving the one we just celebrated, the Lion of Judah. Because God's plans are bigger and better than mine, because he's really clever. And he preserves the one who would ultimately forgive. He preserves the one who was reconciliation personified, Jesus Christ. We've just celebrated that one, Jesus, the one who was tempted in every way, yet was without sin, who calls us again into deep covenant relationship, and who made it possible by coming down, living the perfect life, dying the death I should have died in my place, not for me, and on the third day conquering death, that I might know forgiveness. Not only forgiveness, but eternal life. Who one day is coming back for his church. And as he does that, he stands at the door in Revelation 3 and says, therefore, repent. I wonder what he'll find, even in this postcode, here. I pray that he finds us here. A people who take our rebellion and sin seriously. Who can stare at his hands and appreciate what it cost to deal with my sin. The 4 years I ignored him, he paid the price for me. Isn't God amazing? Aren't you glad the Spirit strives with you and that he's not stopped striving with your heart? Why don't we do this? I've got other things on there, but it'd be great to get some more singing in response to that. And if the children come and join us, it'd be wonderful. In Ezra 10, all of the women and children, Jason, it'd be great if you could just lead us. All the women and children and the men came. They came. And so we've got opportunity. A week today. Can I say you've got opportunity right now to come before the King of Kings? There's maybe things in your life and my life that we're ashamed of. Let's create that environment where we can talk about it without fear of judgment. Where we can pray for one another, with one another. And that we can respond and say, Lord, we want to be the people you've called us to be. What sort of people ought we to be? A people of confession and faith will be a great place to start. Shall we pray together? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your word to our hearts, that you call us into covenant, into relationship. Lord, that you love us too much to leave us as we are. Holy Spirit, you shine in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we will come with an attitude of confession and faith, an openness. I want to be in Ezra 10, Lord, not just in 6. I want to be in that place where I don't like the things, I hate the things that dishonor you in my life. We give you this church. Lord, we give you our families. We give you our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Work your way in our hearts. And may we truly be a people of confession and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. If anything's challenged you this morning, as it has me, please don't rush off. Maybe you don't know Jesus yet. You've never said, Lord, I want to come to you. Maybe today is your day. Or maybe you've drifted like that 4 years I had. The Lord's ready. You're not here by accident. Come. Confess to him. Let's start that journey with people. Really serious and about doing business with God. But please come and pray or see me afterwards. It'd be great.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong
deliverer. You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.